Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Betches Justin Bieber fan podcast. Oh my God, just kidding. Sorry, Mike, love you. This is not another true crime podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Levine, here as always with Casey Balsham.
Hey there, guys.
And Danny Murphy.
Hey guys.
Casey is in Texas today,
She's
guess.
She's Southern. She's Casey Musgraves.
Thank you. Oh, who barely is Southern, I feel like. Cowboy boots does not an accent make you.
Urban Outfitter cowboy boots.
But I love her. Oh, she's urban. So emo.
She is.
Is she? Okay, I don't listen to her enough.
She's
I feel
sweet.
Like.
She's I like sweet. Her music, but it's very feely.
She seems cool. She seems kind of like self-deprecating and fun on Twitter.
She loves acid, yeah.
What?
She does seem fun on Instagram. She's always like making weird faces and cursing. And I love any pop star that curses because you're like basically saying, fuck you, little fans.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
fuck you little fans.
They all know what it means anyway. Come on.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
All right, in keeping with today's theme, let's play a game that's not really a game. It's just, tell me about your worst apartment and or roommate horror story.
Okay. I've got, and I hope she's not, I mean, God bless if she is listening, but I had a roommate in college who truly, like in college, like at these apartments that we had to stay at, there was like one big room that you would share with somebody else. Yeah. And like after the dorms, it was like these very well-known apartments and always had like one regular room and one big room. And so there was like three of us, two of us in the thing. So first she would have her boyfriend sleep over all the time. Second, she left a dead hamster in our room.
What?
She had a hamster and it died and she just left it in a room.
Okay.
Third, she had a cat and the cat would shit everywhere and she wouldn't pick it up.
Did the cat kill the hamster?
No, the hamster just died because she's a terrible pet parent.
Oh my
so
God.
Wow.
The cat would run around. The cat, she never changed the litter box. So the cat would come up in the middle of the night with shit all in its paws and like come up. And you know how cats will claw at your chest? But it always came up on my bed. Shit filled. And then she left. We shared a closet. It was a big closet, but there was the cat shit in the closet.
No.
And she put a paper towel over it for no less than a week. I went in there to I went in there to change and it smelled like shit. She was on the phone with her boyfriend at the time and I was like, do you think you could clean up the cat shit? And she was like, I'll have to call you back. And like angrily cleaned up the week old cat shit in the shared closet of us. And
why were you sharing a closet?
Because it was like the big
room. The jacket room?
Yeah.
Jacket closet type of thing?
No. It was like a giant room. So it was our two beds.
Oh my God. And then, it was your literal roommate, not just someone you shared an apartment with?
It was my literal roommate.
Like
And so, and we had a big walk-in closet. We had a shared bathroom and then there was like another room with a thing. And yeah. So
there was an ensuite for cats. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Oh there was God. A cat shitter. So it was just like, I remember being like, you have to change. And then I think she would say like, why don't you change it. I'm like, because it's not my fucking cat.
Yeah,
girl.
Like, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't my extracurricular.
I think roommates that expect other roommates to take care of their pets for them without any kind of explanation or like it's not my job.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I'm mad that the cat's shitting, but not enough to not make you clean up after your own cat.
Right, because then the second you start doing it, she's gonna be like, oh well, I got a free cat clean.
And
yeah, you got
the
free
thing
service,
about this
yeah.
girl too is that she never went to school. She called in sick for she worked 2 days a week and always called in sick.
What'd
all she did
do?
Was shop at like these like cheapy stores and get giant iced teas and then leave them all over the house. It was wild ride.
Cool, but
it was a wild ride. I mean, now I think she's
she's probably on an episode of Hoarders.
No, yeah. I mean, I know. It's we follow each other on Instagram. Now she seems like she's thriving, but goddamn, in college, right,
selling Mary Kay.
In college, she was the worst.
What a mess.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like also there's so many horror stories you get from living in New York just from trying to fill rooms when people
drop
hats.
Like my first year out of college. Yeah. And we had someone who
I would die.
Someone, one of our friends, I was in like with like four people. Someone was just like, hey, I'm actually moving out in 2 weeks. And we're like, Okay. The lease wasn't up for like another 3 months. So we had to find someone just to fill that.
So much. It happened so much. Friend.
So we went, we did a last minute gypsy housing situation.
No.
Got someone who seemed like
Which for anybody who doesn't know is a pretty popular Facebook group in New York where you just like, it's for creative people. They use that term pretty loosely where
it's
you just like find
like
cheap apartments.
It's like Tinder for finding a roommate. Yeah.
So you Danny's not just like using a slur.
No. Yes. No, I'm not chair. Yeah.
But it's because like the first and last, like to actually move into a new apartment in New York City, you need like $5,000 to $7,000.
It's insane.
So gypsy housing is a way to like circumvent like the broker fee in the first, you just kind of take over a already existing lease.
And that's where like we found someone who said they were in college. It ended up being a PhD program he dropped out of.
Oh, no.
So with that, he also was 36 at the time. And then he was on top of that, he never cooked, but he just carried around a fork everywhere. And we're like, what is happening here? And then one time I was like, we're missing something in the, I was missing something in the kitchen. And I was like, okay, I think he brought in his, I always seen with a fork, whatever. I'm just going to go in his room and see if it's in there. I open it. I'm not joking. I knock it down. Beer bottles and cans of beans fall everywhere. He was hoarding empty beer bottles and like baked beans just like out of the can. All open there. It smelt disgusting.
In his room?
In his room.
Just which is beer and beans.
Beer, beans, and a bike.
Beer,
and no bed.
Beans, Battlestar Galactica.
I was like, what is happening in here?
Where did he sleep?
I don't know. There was just a little pile in a corner. I was like, what is happening? Like, the person tried to sell you their bed for $60.
Do you know what makes me upset about this? I'm sure he still fucked people. I'm sure that there's some girl
Can
that
I
went
tell
back
you?
And was like, this is fine.
And also because he was hot.
Of course.
There was like,
oh my God.
The second week, he sent me this 2-paragraph text message. Well, I did it. I made the move. And now I'm ready to come. I was like, what's happening? And then he texted me immediately after. Sorry, that was for my ex-girlfriend. And I was like, well, I'm offended, but also you shouldn't send a text like that to an ex-girlfriend.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this guy had successful relationships. Mr. Bean Beer.
Who is this guy?
I don't... Evan who lives... Last time I heard, he lives in Bushwick.
Yeah. Netflix documentary on Evan.
Yeah.
If you've ever slept with Evan, please dial the hotline at 1-888. Fucking
like,
what?
Yeah, get tested. I don't know.
Oh my God.
It was repulsed.
Okay, I actually, knock on wood, haven't had bad roommate stories. Maybe I'm the bad roommate. I mean, there's definitely been unpleasant stories, but nothing that's so bad that I would like write home about. But my first apartment in Atlanta, so I really didn't know any better. It was like $460 a month. And I was like, bet, this is so cheap. So I didn't really care. It was like crumbling. We had like
crumbling.
Yeah.
Literally
falling apart.
We had roaches for sure. I would tell our management company and they'd be like, because they were like fucking huge roaches, and they'd be like, oh well, actually technically those are palmetto bugs. And I'm like, I don't care
they're
what
in
you
our
call
apartment.
Them
yeah.
Also my poor roommate, she was like a public, like an MPH student from Mumbai. She found a rat one night like in our pantry. So
not
it was,
a mouse
it was
a
like,
rat
it was a
that's
rat.
A difference. Yeah,
according
that is
to her
one.
It was a rat. I did not see it.
Yeah, that's a
but oh my gosh. So yeah, that's my apartment horror story. And I didn't even, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Like, whereas now, if I saw a rat in my apartment, I think I would, like, possibly murder my landlord.
I'd call 311. I'd call, like, the city hotline and be like, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys know that there's a rat problem in this city?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, there's
someone
a few
needs
issues.
To know.
Yeah. I'm like, no, we're up to hear about it. Yeah.
Who can we tell about the rat problem? Gosh. They're like, fucking yell it to this guy.
Yeah.
But I feel know that I casted Pizza Rat?
What?
I casted him. I put him in that role.
You got
him.
Oh yeah, you're lifting up SAG-AFTRA. Yeah,
legend.
He had the chops. You
know? Yeah, oh no, he was doing. He's
making this
it.
Pizza. You become famous, kid.
He's getting his walk of fame. Yeah,
I casted
him. Honestly, I'm not even sure how your guys' stories compare to the one that we're covering today, because I think they're kind of on par.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. We've had some, I mean, no.
That's pretty horrifying.
No, nothing to the, and it's like fear factor extreme of this one.
Right.
And before we dive like completely into it, I feel like just like a quick synopsis for everyone. Just like, I don't know if you guys have all been seeing the news about this crazy, crazy house that's like, I'd call it like haunted house.
It's not haunted,
but it's like, because
there's no ghosts involved.
Yeah, which by the way, I don't think I can live in a haunted house. I've had friends that have full blown just been like, yeah, but it's a nice ghost. It just opens and shuts drawers. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, he's like helping you find the spatula.
Helping Evan find his one fork.
Yeah, I know where the spatula is. I don't want the deceased helping me.
Also, them touching, like, are they washing their hands?
Yeah.
That's my cue.
Yeah, we need to know if we're getting ghost germs.
Because probably when they died, maybe like antibacterial, like, you know, the gel stuff wasn't around.
They're the 0.1% that's not killed. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Baby germs killed him. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That took a wild turn.
Right? Yeah. But,
we went from germs killing ghosts into what we're talking about today.
Right. Thank you for that. Yeah, we're going to be talking about The Watcher.
Yikes.
Think it was this story that kind of, okay, the Cut article, which is the main source that we're going to talk about, because they, as we know, we love The Cut. They go all the way in depth.
They do.
Some would argue too much depth.
So great and deep.
Especially as I was rereading this article, I was like, this was a throwaway line that we did not need.
A couple of, there are definitely a couple times when you're like,
there's a throwaway paragraph or two.
Yeah. But anyway,
Plus 30 seconds.
I know. Don't you dare do that to this podcast, anybody.
Don't you dare.
You can actually skip over the germs. Maybe.
Go back and skip over the part about the ghost germs.
Yes. But the Cut article, did you guys notice this? It kind of talked about like how much media attention this case got. And I'm like, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
That's what I was. And even
maybe local news.
Well, because that's my thing. Because I am from the town right across from it.
Oh.
So they're like our rival town. They were the Starbucks town to our Dunkin' Donuts town.
Are you the town? Okay, I heard my friend who's from Westfield, apparently call it WF, which is so lame.
Yeah.
But so apparently they planted all these trees in Westfield because they got upset that the rival town won like prettiest town award.
No, this
and
is...
then they got fucked during Hurricane Sandy because they had all those trees.
Literally,
You're from that town?
Yeah. Because my town was drop dead gorgeous, very sad and tiny, but it was cute.
And obviously, as we get into the story, it seems like Westfield was very much, they did very much care about appearances and and keeping up with like what everybody thought they should be.
I would say for like people who aren't familiar with the town, if you don't live in New Jersey, weirdly, and you listen to this podcast, it's kind of like everyone in Westfield is trying to be like Renata on Big Little Lies. That's kind of what they're aspiring to, but
I
you're
will
in
not
the,
not be rich.
That's them like shouting at like Aubon Pond though, because it's still New Jersey. Like there's no there's no Bergdorf there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the energy they bring into the world.
Oh, I love that.
I like that.
It is chic. I still go back there from time to time.
Wow.
I just walk around. I'm like, I have a credit card now.
Yeah.
You're like, I understand.
It's declined, but
Well, this is where our story starts in Westfield, New Jersey. Born and raised. Yes. On 657 Boulevard is this big house. So, as we discussed, Westfield is an affluent suburb where the average household income is $200,000. Mm. So I'm going to be filtering my Hinge location accordingly.
Westfield.
Oh, man. The divorce rate's pretty high there. I read on NJ.com. We should all do a field trip.
All right. Let's fucking swoop in.
We should do.
Let's get Sarah a nice divorce.
Right? Yeah. I mean, yes. That's your new plan, right?
Yeah. That is my plan. I'm just going to swoop in after the divorces.
There you go.
Yeah. Whatever.
Move on to the Boulevard, girl.
Yeah. All right. Honestly, fuck it. I'll move it to a haunted house, even though this is not haunted.
Real estate is down in that area.
Yeah.
You can afford it.
Yeah, totally. I have $1.9 million.
Perfect.
Okay, so I think the funny thing about Westfield is, like, I feel like they put forth this, oh, our town is so safe, nothing's ever happened here. And they talk in the article about in the Cut about how, like, the biggest deal in this town was a Trader Joe's closing.
Right.
But that's not true. That's totally dishonest because this completely glosses over these murders. This man named John List killed his entire family, then fled to, I think, Virginia, was leading a double life for 18 years, and then was finally caught.
Yeah, they very much glossed over.
They, and I'm like,
buried the lead and while he buried the bodies. Yeah.
It's like, wait, really safe except for the brutal murder.
Of a man and his family. A guy who flipped on his family.
Cool. Yes. All right. So I don't know. I just feel like that just gives you an extra picture of like these people because they're nice appearances,
they're very naive, and they're big on like Connecticut repression status of just being like shove it under the rug, let it be a body, a fat child. Yeah, they push it down.
I can't relate as a Jew. I can't relate to that sentiment. But like,
there's not even any therapist in New Jersey. They're like, we're fine. Actually, it's okay. Just get more Botox.
But the weird thing is because buying a house on the Boulevard, especially, was like a big fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Boulevard was almost kind of famous within this town.
Mm-hmm.
A resident told The Cut that the neighborhood had a lot of money and a lot of ego and also a lot of cognitive dissonance. That's my editorial ad.
Oh, hello, words.
So, thank you. So, this house
we'll
that we're
going to
talk about.
We'll ask you what that means later.
Yes, I'll talk about it later.
Thank you.
It's on the Patreon.
Yeah, it's on the Patreon. Oh, my God. We should have gotten
cognitive dissonance mean?
Sarah reading
just
the dictionary.
Just for her doing smart words, you making up words, and then you just explaining them both to me.
Let's come out with a deck of flashcards.
Ooh.
Okay.
For the live shows.
All right, this is a good idea. let's get back to the story. The Watcher House was bought by a couple named Maria and Derek Broaddus. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-bedroom colonial style home built in 1905, mm-hmm. and they bought it for $1.35 million, so it was very affordable.
Right.
Then they put about $100,000 into renovations on the house. In June of 2014, they claimed to receive a letter from somebody called The Watcher, and this was a few days before they had a chance to move in. And they would eventually receive 4 letters between June 2014 and February 17. And this is where our creepy story begins.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have some of the letters. I feel like this is very, like, that almost sounded like Hoarders. I mean, like, we have the letters.
Yeah. I feel like a full disclaimer is that we kind of tried to piece these together.
Yeah. So they may not be the right, because in a lot of the articles, I couldn't find, like, one straight thing.
I would imagine they probably haven't released them all in
and
full.
And there was no images of them all. I also tried to find images. But but so just based on the article and what seemed to make sense, we kind of Frankenstein.
I feel like Sarah summed it up best. It is JonBenet's ransom note.
Yeah, it's literally JonBenet's. Ramsey ransom letter.
So, GBRN.
All right, so dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call to you with its force within? 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming.
Ew.
Ooh. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched in the 1960s. Family business. He didn't say that. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out. I see already that you have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be. Tsk, tsk, tsk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy. The house is crying from all the pain it's going through. You have changed it and made it so fancy. You are stealing its history. It cries for the past and what used to be in the time when I roamed its halls. The 1960s were a good time for 657 Boulevard when I ran from room to room imagining the life with the rich occupants there. The house was full of life and young blood. Then it got old and so did my father. But he kept watching until the day he died, and now I watch and wait for the day when the young blood will be mine again.
Ugh. I know.
You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are 3 that I have counted, and there are more on the way. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. I asked the Woods to bring me young blood, and it looks like they listened. Was your old house too small for the growing family, or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. Who am I? There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 6570 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am in one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Maybe I am in one.
Ugh.
Look at any of the many windows in 657 Boulevard at all the people who stroll by each day. Maybe I am.
We get it. Maybe you're
welcome, my friends. Welcome. Let the party begin. The Watcher.
Okay, gross. I mean,
okay, this is fucking annoying. This is like the letter in Friends that's 18 pages front and back. Like, make your damn point.
As someone who's been on a first date accidentally with someone who did slam poetry, this is what that is.
You get roped into a lot of weird performance
art. I'm very lonely.
I know. Danny.
Tricked into improv 4
times.
Danny,
you just have to go to drinks for a date. Like, that's it. Don't say yes to anything else.
But I say yes and.
Okay, here's the thing that bothers me about this here's the thing that bothers me about this letter so much is that he says that he lives there in the 1960s, and did we ever find a record of who the fuck lived there in the 1960s?
Not really, because he says I ran from room to room imagining the life with the rich occupants there. Meaning that he's imagining the life with the people who own the house, and he's not one of
that's
them.
That's what I was wondering, if like it was it started with like someone who worked at the house.
Well, they did end up like looking into like people that were maids and stuff like that. Also, we mentioned this letter mentions the Woods, which was the previous owner right before the Broadduses. Yes.
What's with the young blood?
Young blood, man.
It's 5 weird. Seconds of summer.
I don't know. There's so many weird, creepy things. I mean, if I got that letter, I'd be a little like.
And well, also, I mean, it's an interesting thing too, where they're like, how many kids do you have? 2, 3? Where it's like any person who would live into this. I mean,
right, it's a 6-bedroom house. 6-bedroom
house in a town with a good school district. People are moving there with families. No one is living. Hugh Hefner's not living there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, the Woods, I don't think, had young. They young didn't. Blood, the house older. Before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They lived in a 6-bedroom house and they didn't have kids.
This is what rich people do. They just buy shit they don't need.
Yeah. No, he says, I asked the Woods to bring me young blood, and it looks like they listened.
True.
I think they did have kids.
I think, but I think that they were older because I feel like there was a later part in the letter where it said like the Woodses don't have
grew
the
up, young. Yeah, they were like up. In college adjacent or something like that. Yeah.
One of the weird things about this letter though, if we mentioned that they bought this house in on June 14th, I think is when the sale went through. This letter was postmarked June 4th, which is actually before the sale was even
that is creepy.
Public.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this
that's
is
a million dollar listing. Yeah, we need Frederick to help.
So clearly, I mean, there's so many things that point to the fact that this person was in the neighborhood and that knew everything that was going on. So of course, after this letter comes, Derek calls the cops, who kind of are like, we don't really know what to do. They kind of don't know what to do.
It's not really threatening. It's just kind of creepy
and
weird.
It's just kind of creepy.
Yeah,
unfortunately. And it's a little stalkerish, yeah.
Yeah.
But so essentially, the Broaddus's were freaked out. So, of course, the first people they go to is the Woodses. They're like, listen, has this happened to you? And the Woods are like, we moved. We got a letter like a couple days before moving out, but we just kind of threw it away. We didn't think anything of it, which... I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I would
okay,
do.
I get it. Yeah. Because again, I don't know. The police are not good at taking threats seriously. Like this is not a threat.
Which is crazy
so
because
I could see why they would not go to the police. Also, as someone who just had a weird, creepy experience where someone random left a single rose outside my door, I was like, should I call the police? No, that makes no sense. So I just threw it away so I can relate. It was creepy. I was like, if anything else happens, I'm calling the cops. But like one single rose, I was like, oh, this is weird.
Okay.
Yeah,
I slept with a knife next to my bed. But
yeah, like, we're like in the time too, where it's like romantic or crazy. There's a fine line.
There's
I mean, actually,
I walk it all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
To all the boys I've loved before, did that like writing. She wrote notes stalking people. Yeah,
she put them in a box in her closet. You let that poor girl be.
Lara Jean.
I love that they're coming up with two new ones.
I know. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, I'm way too old to know these facts, but you follow E! Online.
You also came
and
in with a sticker
happened.
Book.
I did come in with a sticker book. Shut up. So here we go. The police actually did tell them, they're like, listen, you can't talk to anybody in the neighborhood about this at this point. Everybody is a suspect, which would be hard. You know what I mean? You're a new family and then you already have to kind of close yourself off. Yeah. So
I mean, they did have roots to Westfield. I think they were just living somewhere
else.
Yeah,
Maria actually grew up in Westfield. And I think, yeah, they did have a much smaller house before they bought this, which was their dream home, which is kind of sad about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Whatever, the police are like, don't tell anyone and just stay on high alert, which they do. So... a few weeks later, 2 weeks later, after the first letter, the Broadduses receive a second letter. It goes a little something like this. Mr. and Mrs. Broaddus, welcome again to your new home at 657 Boulevard.
They spelled the name wrong.
They did. There's been a shit ton of typos
There's been
some
typos and they got their name wrong. They call them the Broadduses.
Yeah. And all right, it's the Broaddus's.
Yeah,
right?
I just want everybody to know that Casey's not reading it wrong.
Oh, yeah. The Broaddus's.
The watcher.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Don't at me. I didn't say it wrong. Not that you guys care. We love you. Mr. and Mrs. Broaddus, spelling typo. Welcome again to your home at 657 Boulevard. The workers have been busy, and I have been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch. Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time, they will. I am pleased to know your names now and the names of the young blood you have brought to me. You certainly say their names often. And then the letter goes on to ask, they've kept the children's names private in all of these reports, obviously, which is nice. But the letter goes on to ask about one child in particular whom the writer had seen using an easel inside an enclosed porch. Fucking freaky. And he says, is she the artist of the family? 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement, or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic, or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better. Fucking what? All of the windows and the doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the watcher, and I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Broaddus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past 3 families to 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Happy moving day. you know I will be watching. XOXO, Gossip Girl. Fucking relax, Penn.
This Penn guy's Badgley. Like all over
this
the place.
Very Dan Humphreys. I know. What the
it
hell?
It almost feels like it's like made to be a TV series.
I mean,
and
like,
that's an argument that many people bring up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There is a you but, know what but I, they yeah. did deny. They like denied all the media stuff at first, but it does sound too.
Right.
It's very weird.
It's too scripted. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have so many thoughts.
Yeah.
But
it's like, what do you mean this is your job? Like, you're not getting paid for this. Like, I don't understand.
he's an
like,
intern what is, for the
what
house.
Is, right? Well, what is the watcher's like real motivation? Like, what? Why?
I also
why
like when he says he goes by a million times a day. It's like, don't you think that when anybody was watching the house, if there was even a car that went by twice, I'd be like suspicious. Yeah. Like, how is this guy going by a million times a day?
I don't think anyone
going
is
by unnoticed.
And I feel like everyone in West, like they have the same three cars. It's like they just always like
it's always a white
a luxury
Lexus,
Lexus black Mercedes, BMW, blue BMW type of situation, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
So at this point, the Broaddus's stop bringing the kids to the house. The porch where the easel that he talks about is covered by vegetation from the street and only can be seen from behind the house or right next to the house. So that kind of opens up. It's creepy, yeah. It kind of opens up the suspect pool, or like not even opens up, it narrows it down. So the opposite of what I just said.
Yeah.
So they're kind of taking precautions. They're not moving into the house at this point.
No.
So
they're still renovating it.
Yeah, they're still renovating it.
Yeah, they're still doing shit.
Several weeks go by, and then they get a third letter.
Fuck.
Where have you gone to? 657 Boulevard is missing you. 657 Boulevard is turning on me. It is coming after me. I don't understand why. What spell did you cast on it? It used to be my friend, and now it is my enemy. I am in charge of 657 Boulevard. It is not in charge of me. I will fend off its bad things and wait for it to become good again. It will not punish me. I will rise again. I will be patient and wait for this to pass and for you to bring the young blood back to me. 657 Boulevard needs young blood. It needs you. Come back. Let the young blood play again like I once did. Let the young blood sleep in 657 Boulevard. Stop changing it and let it alone. Drink it, Gabe. Yeah. Drink every time he says young blood or 657 Boulevard.
Who am I?
Who am I?
I pass by.
Yeah.
Who am I?
It's very much like it needs to be like a pop song.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that one is that it's like, this used to be my playground.
Can we find somebody to put a beat to the watcher letters?
Oh my God, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Can I say, if we do that, it would
where
be on, it would chart somewhere.
To?
Yeah.
657.
Like, it is like, where I don't have you gone to? My best friend is not my enemy.
Understand why. Oh my God.
I will be patient. I will be back.
Who am I? I walk by you every day. Who am I? I am in a car. I hate this guy. You didn't know we could sing?
Oh, yeah. We brought the beat in.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh my God.
I told you I loved it.
So that's the remix of The Watcher. Our first Billboard chart. Thank you all.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. We came in 99 in Germany.
Yeah.
Yes.
I honestly feel like they would love us.
We're huge in Germany.
Yeah. Aside from being fucking weird.
They would love us.
Yeah, they would.
I have that hunch.
Yeah.
Aside from being weird as fuck, this letter was kind of helpful in that they were able to find out that it was processed in Kearney, which is in northern New Jersey.
Okay.
But it's like, okay, that could
But it's
be.
Like, we already know the calls are coming from within. Yeah,
exactly.
We already know that this bitch lives in
No one
Jersey.
In Kearney is like, yeah.
New Jersey.
Yep.
Okay. So they, the family now still attends neighborhood functions despite not being moved in because status is everything. That's kind of a
Truly.
You're like, just there's other nice towns. Like, move to Summit. If you're from New Jersey, you know that's a nicer town. It is a fact.
We just shrugged. Casey and I were like, well, if you say
I'm
so.
I'm like, I believe you.
Someone is
nice and that. Jersey. Yeah. Sounds like an oxymoron.
Not wrong.
But
neighbor John Schmidt tells them about the Langfords who live in between them. And you could see then from the Langfords' house, the easel from the they were talking about in the letters.
Yeah.
Which is kind of suspicious.
Kind of suspicious.
So Peggy. 90 and all of her adult children live with her.
Yeah, Peggy Langford is a 90-year-old woman that has all her adult children living with
That's
her.
That's just a very weird
it's
sitcom.
It's very weird.
It's like the sad Brady's Bunch that like kept on filming.
It's very like Norman Bates.
Yeah.
It's like she's 90 and her adult children are like 60 and 70. Yeah. It's just
and everyone kind of said it's like one of their sons, Michael, was a little off.
A little off.
It's kind of, and like never to a I didn't read any where it was a thing where it's like Michael's scary, but not in like a Boo Radley sense. It's just like something.
They did call him a Boo Radley. Yeah. But then some people said he would just like do nice things for people, and I'm like,
yeah.
That bitch was in this town.
But they have lived there since the '60s, so they're very, very suspicious.
Yes. So he's brought in for questioning, but there's no evidence, and he denies knowing anything. And then Derek starts his own investigation and sets up camp. Like, he gets very
Derek gets.
What's that movie? Like, not the the one where it's like Paranormal Activity.
I was gonna say every movie
when it's like 7 hours too long of just like B-roll footage of like a couch moving, and I'm like, that's just TaskRabbit. But it's Derek starting his own investigation. He sets up cameras, hires a PI, and starts to contact FBI agents.
Right,
and they gather that the writer is older.
This is the FBI work because
FBI profiling.
Yeah, because of some of like the things that they use, some of the literary devices that the writer uses. They're like, listen, it's an old Jersey guy. Yeah,
they said,
listen to me.
The writer said he ran around in the '60s. Yeah, I guess he's old now.
Danny,
I think you should go straight to Quantico with that. It's amazing.
I'm like, guys, figured out the world. Yeah, the recession is off now.
Wait, Quantico's a real place?
I don't know. I'm just saying from Criminal Minds.
And also, I was going to say from Priyanka Chopra.
There was also a show called Quantico. Canceled.
Well, that's where the FBI base is in Criminal Minds. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's totally real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you know, again, call the hotline. 1-888-fucking-what?
Whatever, just call 311 and tell them to fix the rats everywhere. but also a fun thing to notice is that the neighbors have lawn chairs in the backyard that face the house.
The neighbors directly behind them had these lawn chairs that were literally facing the Broaddus' house.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would your lawn chairs face the other house?
You want to face your backyard.
Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, unless that's just where the best sun is. I mean, me as somebody who likes to tan, but I mean, also.
But that was like a gacha type thing. Yeah. Where like, huh, are they the watcher?
Yeah, because this wasn't the Langfords. This was the people. The Langfords were next to them. They could see in. The people behind them had weird chairs that looked in. So it's all like in this weird.
Yeah.
Very, very weird.
So far, the suspects are the Langfords that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Someone who lost the house in a bidding war, which people would murder for a house.
That was
a story like that, I think, but I don't remember the details. But there's like this lady. No, it's not this. Fuck you guys.
So funny. There was a story like this.
No,
and that's
it,
guys.
Reading.
Rate and review.
Yeah, that's the episode. No, I remember reading this story of like when I was reading The Watcher, I thought it was a story, but this lady kept getting these threatening letters. And I think it was someone who lost the house in a bidding war. But they kept getting like increasingly more threatening, not just like this weird ass watcher shit.
And
the last person is someone who was jealous they couldn't afford the house, which would have been my entire town. Well, so I feel like that's a little too big
of a... But then it's like, what's your plan
But
there?
Also, that's what people, like, because of the watcher's mention of like people are greedy and this is wealth brought everyone here, it could have been somebody a little bit bitter that couldn't afford the house.
And because it is kind of smart with that, because then you don't want to sell it for a lower price because you want to get out of
house.
It.
Like, I don't understand.
I don't know.
HGTV. Why you go to these lengths?
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, so we're three letters in.
Yeah.
Three letters in. Then the watcher goes silent for a year.
Right.
The investigation stalled. There was no fingerprints, no digital footprint. I think at one point they had found DNA on an envelope and they matched it to a woman.
Yeah.
Or they found that it was a woman, but they didn't really match it to anybody. Police told the Broadduses they'd run out of options. So Derek installed alarm systems and even looked into training German shepherds
and
having a military vet just work out in his backyard. But this was one of those lines in the cut that I thought was a total throwaway. I guess you thought about it, but do I need to put every single one of my anxiety spiral thoughts into a cut article?
I know. I just think
pay me, I would, though. Yeah. I can spiral for 9 pages.
He thought about training German shepherds, but did he really make any moves to make it happen?
He looked into it.
I don't think so.
I think it just goes to show how kind of they were at their wits. It's like, what can I do to get this guy to stop? I think it just was trying to show, but you're right, it was like a weird thing to end it, but I really think it was just showing that he was going a little bit cuckoo and was like, should I get a dog? How about this guy working out of my backyard?
Yeah, just pay someone
like,
to do
this guy was just like, he just was like, I want to, you know, I think that at the end of the day they wanted to move into this fucking house.
Yeah, and they still hadn't moved in. They were still living with Maria's parents and they were paying the mortgage and property tax on 657 Boulevard. Drink. The Broadduses were like, mentally falling apart, as we discussed. They decided eventually that it wasn't worth taking the chance that something might happen to their kids. So they decided to sell the house. The realtor actually suggested against disclosing the info about the letters. But they were like, no, we can't do that. That's fucked up. So they
don't
did.
Yeah, they didn't want people to go through what they went through.
Exactly, which is very nice. Yeah.
And then so that kind of bit them in the ass. Yeah. They didn't really get offers on the house.
Not surprisingly.
Surprisingly. Hey, do you want to move in with a possible stalker maniac?
Yeah. Totally.
No? Weird.
I like the part in the Cut article where it does say that there was like some cocky Staten Island guy that was like, I'm going to get this house for cheap. And then the minute they showed him the letters, he like never called
them. Yeah, he was like, I'm out.
No offense to Staten Island.
Yep, all the offense. Then on June 2nd of 2015.
It's like a year after. Yeah,
so a year after that, the Broaddus's decide that the Woodses should have disclosed their letter. And so they take legal action and file a complaint. And this is when the story went viral. The neighborhood is shook and also pissed.
Yeah.
Because also this is like the worst press for this town. Like this town is mad. Everyone's like,
and there had been cases before, I think in New York, where they found that a house that was haunted, the owners were required to disclose.
Yeah, you have to tell if the house is if somebody died there. You have to
but
essentially like when they filed the complaint, they couldn't seal the court records, and that's kind of how it leaked. I think it was right on the Today Show.
I think it was a Today Show reporter. They did try to seal it, but too late, and it got out.
But essentially this is kind of reopened a year later, even though the police had kind of been like, we don't really know what else we're going to do. They had to kind of start from the beginning again. So they re-look at Michael Langford, which again is the neighbor next door, the supposedly harmless old man that lived there, that they come to find out is actually schizophrenic. And people say that he is a friendly neighbor. They say, like, you know, he will get my paper for me. He does all this stuff. But also, within being a friendly neighbor, he also... they said he like peeks through windows and walks through backyards. So I get it. Like, it's a small neighborhood, but still I think that there is something in peeking through windows. That's a little,
watchery.
Yeah. A little like you're literally watching people. And all the neighbors that had lived there for years were like, I really don't think you could have written these letters. They actually went so far one time as to send a letter to the Langfords to say, we're tearing down the house, just to see if that triggered a response. But of course it didn't, because
why would they send it directly to the
Langfords?
Because
I think that they were convinced it was Michael.
Yeah, but
so
that's
if Michael
like,
was like loving the house so much, they were like, let me see if we can smoke him out. Let's
let
see
me
if
just
this
send
happens.
A random letter to people that we don't talk to. That's
I mean,
weird.
The cops did. I mean, but again, I think the cops in this whole case are fucking idiots. And essentially why like Derek hired his own fucking investigator.
Yeah, the Westfield cops are only focused on like speed limit. Things,
and apparently. Unconstitutional policing, which is actually just strictly enforcing the parking laws.
Oh yeah, that was something. Oh, that's and also, the other I was thing like, that was happening in that neighborhood. Problems.
This is the thing. I don't know if this is a universal thing with this town. If you're driving in their town, I don't know if they change it after 10:30, and you don't live in that town, you could get a ticket.
I
got pulled over after going to see the midnight premiere of the fucking Hunger Games in high school or something like that because of that.
That doesn't seem like, and I was that like, can be a real law.
Again, this town is this town. There's a
is
lot
this
of
the purge. Like what?
It really, a lot it of could weird use a purge.
But around this time, like Sarah mentioned, this is the time that they actually did a DNA test and saw that they thought it came from a woman.
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
So no, that's okay, because they actually because they re-looked at Michael and then saw that it was a woman. So then they decided to check out his sister, Abby Langford, and then out of nowhere, the Langfords are just ruled out completely with no explanation, no anything. They're just like, listen, they didn't do it. So I'm like wondering kind of how that dropped off as quick as it did. So the Broaddus's do end up, again, they're putting in so much of their own work. They hire a forensic linguist. They did handwriting analysis. They did a bunch of footwork around the neighborhood, seeing exactly what angles you could see into the house based on like some of the details that a watcher had put in his letters. And they even, this part really sets it up like a movie. They tried to break into the Wi-Fi and then realized, A, super hard, B, super illegal.
Yeah, 0 for 2.
So, yeah, 0 for 2. So here's a couple weird things that actually also come out kind of during this time when the eye is back on and everybody's kind of like, what the fuck's going on? It actually comes out that another family had gotten a letter around the same time that the Broaddus's got the letter. And police, of course, fucking missed this. But the family had just disregarded it like the Woods had. I guess one of the kids from that family like put something on Facebook and then like deleted it. Like just making things very, very complicated. But there was another letter out there that doesn't, you know, get found out until this other year later. This also was just such a weird thing. This part, apparently there was one night a suspicious car, because obviously now they are kind of like watching the house to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But a car was parked outside for like a weird amount of time. They traced the plates and it belongs to this woman who lives in New Jersey. Check. And it turns out that they question her and her boyfriend, she's like, yeah, he plays this really dark video game where he goes by the name The Watcher. And it's
Beauty
like,
bong.
Boom, slam dunk. Come on.
I mean, honestly, you'd think it was a slam dunk. They couldn't even get this guy to come in to the police department. They asked him twice to come in and answer questioning. And then they were like, you know, we didn't have anything that appealed to him to come in. So then the police just fucking drop it.
Right?
I don't understand.
I mean, you can't compel
what being
someone.
A policeman is.
You can't compel
Ice
someone
tea
to come
on
in.
SBU.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what the power of Christ compels
him. I'm like, let's just talk. Yeah,
it just so
unless he's under arrest, they can't compel him.
I'm sure if you're
questioning, and I'm sure they're not going to like use their resources to drive out to wherever the fuck he is.
No,
because
but it just
not
seems
really
like
a crime yet.
No, I know, but it just but seems so, like there's so many weird things. She's like, yeah, my boyfriend, I guess, played this guy, and it's called The Watcher, and then they can't like the cops are just like, we'll just let this one slide.
Right,
it just seems
I don't think that's fair. I feel like they don't let it slide, but they don't like have anything to work with, and they can't make this guy do anything.
And
I mean, they have the same name and they have them outside of the fucking house. That to me is
but
enough.
There's not even a crime. Yeah. Sending someone weird letters is not
apparently
even a crime.
If you can't even drive in this town past 10:30, but
I'm
you can park in front of somebody's house.
That's what I was worried about. I know, right? And usually because like they care so much about lawn aesthetics.
Like
too.
I'm honestly surprised that the police even investigated this because I feel like in New York they'd be like, sucks to suck.
Yeah, they're like, you check your mail.
Yeah.
And also I feel like on top of it, something that like the media circus and kind of like the chatter about this started to calm down. It kind of was a story that came and went on a huge larger scale.
Yeah.
But and then on top of that, the neighborhood started to turn on the Broaddus's, who are still living this
absolutely
nightmare.
Yes.
Because people start to think that they did it to themselves because they had buyer's remorse.
Which pisses me off because they spent so much of their own money like
well, I mean, that could also have been a reason
hiring all these people. It's like, if they couldn't afford the house, why would they also do this themselves just so they could spend more money? I hate that theory.
I have a lot of opinions on this theory because one of my friends lives in this town and thinks it was a hoax.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll save it for the end.
Okay, yeah. Yes. And because they thought they were shady for continuing to renovate the house and not moving in. And people started to question also, how can they afford this house and things like that. And kind of just like people were calling it a scam. They were kind of like, they could not go to the Trader Joe's. They could not go to Ferrero's, which is a good Italian restaurant there.
Ugh, what a shame.
according to this Reddit thread.
I'll talk about this. According to this Reddit thread. Reddit thread that I found.
Reddit queen.
Yeah. I mean, the Broadduses were maybe flipping homes or just buying a lot of homes. Some guy on Reddit found mortgage entries from them in 2002, 2003, 2005, 2008, 2010, 2013, and 2014. They had links for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can
like
link out
flop,
to the thread.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly feel like you can falsify anything on the internet these
sure,
days.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like Reddit. I'm not taking it as gospel necessarily.
But
it's
crazy interesting. But yeah, but a weird thing that
but
why
if,
would somebody
it'd
make
it?
It'd
be a weird niche thing to make up for this, I feel like. So I feel like it's a thing. Yeah.
So it could be. I mean, I didn't like go super deep into the fact check, but I just found it on Reddit and I was like, huh, this is interesting.
She has a date with Derek tonight. We'll keep you guys posted.
right?
Weird.
And Derek thinks because this town is kind of so focused on appearances and things like that, that the town didn't want to admit that there might be some mental illness in the community and they would rather have this conspiracy than admit to like a menace living among them.
Mm-hmm. Again, the same town that buried the lead on the John List murders.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
they're like, we're fine.
Yeah, totally safe. Nothing bad ever happens here except
except murder.
Yeah, except a brutal
stalking.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So the Broadduses end up borrowing money to buy a new house under an LLC so it would be private. Surprise, it wasn't, I guess. Then they put 657 Boulevard Drink back on the market. They asked, basically, so they what they wanted to do was they asked the community if they could tear down the house and make two houses on the same lot so that they could like make more money.
Yeah.
And people just,
or
five, seven
just
and a half.
Try to kind of
or,
get rid of this.
Their lost
and
house.
Also because then the person would be so, I'd like to resell.
Yeah.
and essentially the lot would have been like 3 feet short on either side to pass the code or whatever. Something, like it was 67 feet and it needs to be 70, which is like ridiculous. So instead of just being able to do this, they had to get it approved. Mm-hmm. And people just fucking lost their shit. They were like upset about this ruining the property value and the aesthetics and the fact that like the boulevard was this like famous street in this town.
Yeah, with these old houses.
Yeah. 100 people showed up to this meeting to tell them to basically get fucked, and they all ruled against them. It was like a an hour, many hours meeting of everybody.
It was
just
a Lady Gaga
like,
gone
no,
wrong.
Fuck
yeah,
you.
There could be 100 people in the room, and they all told you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it was literally like the one person was like, "I've looked out into a beautiful home my whole life, and you're telling me now that the garage is going to be in the front of the house, and that it's unacceptable." People
are wild. Suburban white people are
they're the
wild.
Craziest bitches in the world. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then 2.5 years later, they were able to rent the house with a clause that stated if any letters came, they could terminate the lease. And then another letter came. And this one literally starts. It's
I
like,
wrote it in the notes.
I told you I was writing
this on Prosecco. Yeah. Pardon me.
And like, it starts out like the watcher did go to grad school and get an MFA in poetry, I think.
Dramatic.
Like, it went from a bachelor's degree to a full-on PhD.
It's stressful.
Violent winds and bitter cold. I'm sorry. What? Yeah.
Okay.
to the vile and spiteful Derek and his wrench of a wife, Maria.
His wrench.
Yikes. You wonder who the watcher is? Turn around, idiots. This is like the drunk girl who came to her ex's like wedding and now is like, I won't cause a scene,
Yeah.
Maybe you even spoke to me, one of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the watcher could be. Or maybe you do know and are too scared to tell anyone.
Oh, really?
Good move. I walked by the news trucks when they took over my neighborhood and mocked me. I watched as you watched from the dark house in an attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful invention.
I hate them.
657 Boulevard survived your attempted assault and stood among with its army of supporters barricading its gates. My soldiers of the Boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watchers! Then he threatened, maybe a car accident, maybe a fire, maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away, but makes you feel sick every day after day after day after day after day. Like the Julia Stiles in 10 Things I Hate About You jumped. Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash. Bones break. You are despised by the house. The Watcher won.
What?
Like
what?
What?
Literally what?
Like that is truly like that is like that is a drunk texty send an eggs. Yeah. You know what? Like planes crash and you're like
bones break.
What kind of drunk text are you guys sending?
This is a sneak peek of Taylor Swift's new album potentially.
Yeah, literally. Oh my god. What if it just is?
Right? She was the watcher.
I feel like this would be her
she was
like
the archer
reputation
and the watcher.
Album
oh my god.
Would be this.
Oh my god.
Went to that tour, so good.
Oh my god.
So the renters stayed, but they wanted cameras installed, which rightfully so.
I already done that.
Like, right? not to do a real callback, but I mean, this letter of the Watchers sounds like the same person that might have painted the mural at the Denver airport.
Right? Sometimes Nazis have got like, what are you doing?
Bones break. Nazis. Worlds.
Yeah.
Planes are delayed. Yeah. Quiznos and Pepsi. Yeah. That's there really what? Is only a Quiznos and a I'm sorry.
Quiznos.
I'll shut down Moscow and I'll shut down the Denver airport. We couldn't get into it in that episode, but they only have a Quiznos. It's like very unfortunate.
I mean, get a McDonald's or get fucked. Everybody has a McDonald's.
Like, what is happening? I'm like, I need a melt. Hit a rap now? This isn't happy for anybody. So they were hoping renting for a while would make it sellable. As this was going on, the board approved a split lot for someone else in the neighborhood, the exact same thing that they denied.
Except for theirs was like a little bit more.
Even more of an exception.
Yeah.
Which is so the huge fuck
it's kind
you.
Of the, literally, to the this is. Town hates them.
They were so, it's so, I mean, it is like celebrity
also,
though. We first
guys,
we sympathize and then we hate.
Yeah.
It's just
I know.
Crazy.
Well, it's
also,
very much the McCanns.
Why are you guys not mad at the murderer? Like, I still don't get it.
Everyone's like, no, Joe is my Joe. Yeah.
No, nobody believes that it's real, but then they're also like, I remember they were like, you can't go over to their house. Like, it's very weird. This whole thing kind of became like, I feel like a thing of Clue too. Cause then anytime anybody did anything, I forget what the sentence was. It was like somebody then hired a lawyer to do something. They're like, why would you hire a lawyer if you weren't the watcher?
Everyone's pointing to, it was very telenovela.
It's like everything was like, only the watcher would act like that. And so I was like,
so
Jesus Christ.
Then rightfully so, Derek starts to go a little kooky. And writes an anonymous letter to the main people that criticized them, shaming for what they did to the family. Yeah, which is not a good look when everyone hates you and thinks that you're making up letters.
Yeah, literally. It's a such a bad move, dude.
Yeah. So it gets kind of like Beyonce obsessed, where like they're both now Derek is getting obsessed with figuring this out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, so Derek's obsessed with the Watcher's obsessed with Derek.
The Watcher doesn't even seem that obsessed. He sends like one letter a year.
Yeah,
that's not that much.
Three and one. Yeah,
yeah. It's the Watcher's booked and busy. Yeah,
he's like four letters. He's doing not that much.
He's doing poetry at Oberlin now.
Yeah, his day job is working at the Trader Joe's. Yeah. And that's when it got shut down. He's like, what should I do?
Have they ever looked into the Trader Joe's?
Have they checked out the employees of the TJs? The reason why we wanted to cover this is because it got really popular again, because as of July 1st of this year, so just a little over a month ago, the house actually finally, they sold it.
It sold.
So they never moved in. They bought a whole other house, and they sold this house at a loss of $500,000, but still, and the new owners have not been identified. Netflix actually purchased the rights to this, and there was a huge bidding war.
Yeah, and they purchased the rights to the Cut article in December.
Well, the Cut is selling some articles.
Is selling some articles, but essentially, like, I know before when people were like, oh, they just wanted money, because they had asked, people had asked them if they could use this a long time ago, and everybody kind of said no. Bradis said no. But then they ended up making like some kind of like defunct, like somebody made like a movie that wasn't the same thing, but pretty much the same
fucking story.
Oh yeah,
it was a Lifetime movie. And then they sued them. The Cut said this. They were like, they sued Lifetime because the couple was biracial and some other detail. And I was like, why is that the detail you sue? It was a very weirdly worded passage. Yeah. I was like, why is that the detail?
Because they didn't give them the rights to it, like, because everybody wanted it. But essentially, yeah.
Lifetime works fast. They already have a college admission movie coming out.
I know, the devil works hard, but Lifetime works harder.
I know. But so I'm wondering, so this Netflix thing, is it going to be a documentary? Are they going to do a dramatized thing? Because I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm assuming that this family would not want to be involved with it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it'll be a dramatization.
Maybe it'll be their one time. I mean, I think this only works as like, I mean, just because it so plays out like a movie that a drama is one, but like I feel like I want hard facts. I was saying
I did not know what you were going to say. You need it in that second.
She wants a cart of something. We don't know.
Hard cold facts, but I was saying card hold facts.
She wants an MP4.
I want to see. I mean, I feel like if they do delve into this as a documentary, like I want to see what the fucking letters look like. I want to see the inside of that house.
I'm hoping it's a documentary.
I want to see Michael Langford. I want to see. Oh fuck, that chair is hard. I am bound. I'm so passionate. I'm banging on the chair.
You're freedom writing right now. Yeah.
I broke skin. I want to see it all.
Yeah. Also, everybody's talking about this as if it's forthcoming, but there really are no details about when this is coming out.
Yeah. And I feel like
people are acting like it's going to come out next week. I'm like, well, it could, to be fair. We really don't know. Netflix is mad shady about that stuff.
I also kind of have a thing where it might not come out. You know what I mean? I don't know if like, I feel like they could lose. It's like, it'll just be shelved somewhere.
We also know that like with the money that Netflix has, they might find some new shit. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like they might actually, because my whole problem with this case is that I find it so hard to believe that there is no trail, that there is no trace of anything, that they did not see that, you know what I mean? Like that with all the work that they put into this, that there's no fucking leads.
Exactly.
There's just nobody you think it is. Yeah. Just nobody. I don't know.
Yeah. So do you guys think, would you have moved in?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't. I mean, if it was myself, maybe, but.
You're a skeptic, though.
Not my kids, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Would you just mean you would have a 6-bedroom house to yourself?
Oh, hell yeah. Just ball out.
Just like, oh, what are you, the woods is?
Yeah. So do you guys definitely think that The Watcher is real?
I don't know if it's the thing that The Watcher was saying of, oh, my family's been watching this house forever, but I feel like there was someone weird writing letters. I don't know what their motive is. That's the thing. I don't know if they were doing it just to kind of be like getting a rise out of people, but that's kind of where I'm leaning to.
It seems like a weird rise. And now do you think do you think it is somebody, because Danny, Sarah, do you think it's real? You said
okay,
no, right?
I'm not 100% sold because every story that we've heard is so biased. The Cut is obviously championing the Broaddus's, so we really haven't heard anyone else's story. I don't know. That being said, I think it's a really long and weirdly indirect con that has a large probability of not paying off.
Yeah. What would the payoff be? I don't understand.
And also, I'm curious.
Well, I mean,
too.
Look, they're getting a movie deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. They got publicity. They can't sell this house. But they again, get publicity. They do sell it at a loss. But I don't know. There are people who just think that it was a hoax so that they
and
could
also people
recoup,
like notoriety. Yeah.
Right. Some of the loss.
But they did recoup. They put $100,000 into it and sold
no,
this.
It's true. But also, they didn't. They probably, you could still they, argue that it was a hoax.
You don't know what the end game would have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I could really go either way. I do think it's a weird con of all the ones to do.
Yeah.
Like to send weird letters. But then also you have to think that the letters are so oddly specific that it's either like a deep, deep stalker or literally the family. Because they know so much stuff. They knew the kids' names. They knew like all this weird info.
It's weird.
That's kind of like.
Yeah.
If you're not stalking the shit out of this family, you are the family.
So if this is a real person in the terms of that, like if it is a real person and they do finally catch him, mm-hmm. what do we think a fair punishment is for something like this?
I mean, it's one of those, because it's not illegal.
What is the crime?
I mean, I think that they should have to stalking? Pay them for, yeah. I think that they should have to pay them for the all the stuff that they, because remember they were still paying like their taxes and their mortgages.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And they,
and
were, they didn't get any, yeah, they didn't
yeah.
get
yeah.
A reprieve from paying for this house
that's
that they
true.
Never lived yep. in. So I think that should be some kind of like back money of like you.
Well, because I guess stalking and
that
duress.
Seems fair.
It's,
yeah.
it's,
be a
it's
judge.
Harassment. Thank you, Judge Casey.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's sort of harassment, I guess.
It's complete harassment.
Well, but also, I feel like with the kid, it's like, I feel like the thing with like stalking a child too is very
like,
weird too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very weird. I mean, it should be illegal.
They'll never hear you scream. What bedrooms yeah. are you sleeping in? Like, it's.
That's true. It could be. And also, yeah. you could interpret it as there were planning for murders and threatening.
Yeah, yeah. We also didn't read any real direct threats, but no. maybe there were and they didn't. We didn't see them in the car
like,
or wherever they left them out.
But
with,
also,
like,
what
screaming
if this
in the
was
basement.
Like a single mom that got this?
Yeah.
We would take it a lot more seriously, but it's because it was
well,
like
kind of
Derek
why,
was the helm of this.
That's
I feel
why
like.
I feel like, yeah, you just have to wonder why this person would do this after so many years. If this person has really been watching the house for mm-hmm. 60 years, why would they care when the Broaddus's move in?
Oh,
there are also other
why
letters.
Do they have a vendetta against this
moral
family?
Moral of the story is just rent.
Into it.
You know
maybe
what I mean?
They, just maybe, rent. But maybe just rent. Because they bit into it. Maybe because
what do you mean?
Cause they sent one to the Woodses and the Woodses were like, whatever. They sent one to
oh,
their family.
Oh, because they freaked out?
Yeah. Maybe it was like trying to get
probably
some
probably the
attention.
Real estate agent that makes a sale from all these houses.
Yeah. Ooh, he's like, let's just keep flipping this.
And on that, boom, boom.
That's the tea.
Cause
wow,
they get a
we solved it.
Boom.
It's the, he works at Trader Joe's,
yeah.
and he's also a real estate,
real estate agent.
And I'm we still saying it. It's a he.
It's a she. Don't we know that from the
I
DNA?
I think it's only a man.
I mean, yeah, I think it's a man. Only a man would
it's,
do something
what
that's
is
fucking
gender?
Weird.
I mean, yeah, are you fluid, Watcher? What do you identify as,
could
Mr.
Be.
Watcher?
Could be.
Mr.
Or Ms.
Miss.
Or something else.
We'll just call him
bitch.
Watcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Do you guys have any other thoughts?
I have no thoughts.
Rent.
But rent. Yeah, that's literally just rent.
Yeah.
Try to afford a one bedroom or a studio so you don't have to deal with roommates. And
don't move on to the boulevard.
Don't visit New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's not that
the
actually
boulevard.
Go for the malls, but nothing else really.
Yeah. 657.
No
drink.
Tax on clothes. Yeah. 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 Finish a bottle of wine because I've always had today. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most famous. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes.
Please follow us on Instagram, NATCpod. Also, we're still doing the contest for the mug.
Yay.
So screenshot us your 5-star review and DM it to us, or you can email it to us at natc@betches.com. And then we're going to pick a winner to win a fun, cool mug that is crime related.
Yum.
Woo.
Fun times.
Yum.
Yum.
Weird response. Yeah. Sorry. Do you ever just say things like because
yep.
you're just used to saying it and you don't
it's
really
hear
the
It's going to be the new hashtag after damn couch.
Damn couch. Yum. Yum.
Okay.
Yum.
You win a mug.
Yeah.
Yum.
You win a mug that we designed that just says yum on it.
Yeah. Danny writes
kidding.
On it with the Sharpie.
Yeah. That mug exists.
Cool. All right. Follow me on Instagram at Sarah F. Carter. I don't have any comedy shows or anything cool
did
going on.
Did you hit 10K
on.
Yet? You're almost-
I sure did.
Yes.
Yes.
I got that
within like the past
up.
Week, you've hit like, you've got up like 600 or something followers.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah,
because
you're
your shit's
no,
getting everywhere.
Your shit's
you.
Everywhere. Go
again.
And like,
Sarah's
lay in bed and just
10K.
Read Sarah's like tweets on Instagram.
It's great. Yeah, she's great. I'm at CaseFaceB, CaseFaceB. What date is this coming out? Oh, I know one. Boston, on September 19th, I'll be headlining a night in Boston.
Ooh.
I think it's called, it's City Something. I'll find the name of it. But if you, it's the City Something. It's Casey Balsham headlines
somewhere
in
the city of Boston.
It's,
there we go.
It's on
it.
Common yeah. Street, something like that. But Boston, September 19th, if you do follow me and you follow the pod, just message me and I'll give you the name directly. But yeah, Boston, September 19th.
And I'm at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K, and at Union Hall, September, I think 23rd or something, or just follow me on a post-it doing a middle school dance themed comedy show.
Love it. We're very
come put on
clear.
Some acne, listen to some JoJo.
Put on
I don't
some
need
acne.
To put on acne.
Put it on.
Put it goddamn on and I'm walk disturbed. Out to Showstopper. Put on acne, axe spray, and Showstopper. That's it.
I'm disturbed.
Oh, Jesus.
Great. As always, also DM us your sign-off ideas. Don't wait until I put the little prompt because I always forget. Today's comes from, I hope I haven't used it before, KS Sully 1. Thanks for listening to Not Another True Crime Podcast. Have a nice life. Goodbye.
Betches.